And we're back. It's a Taylor Report. Yes, for you historians and people who like this sort of thing, Ajaccio is the home of Napoleon Bonaparte. And if you've never heard of the name, look it up. Rather important place in French history. We'll be talking about Mr. Bonaparte some our programs in the future. We should be speaking momentarily with Zafar Bengash, and I'm going to add a name now that we will also be talking to Sarah Flounders of the International Action Committee. We're trying to get reactions to all of these recent events, particularly the bombing in eastern Syria and the noisy and unpleasant dispute going on at the Security Council. And Canada's going to have to Canadians, I forget the government, it's not going to do a thing, but people should be very alert. Because now we have warplanes, just exactly what people talked about as danger of this matter of violating the airspace of the sovereign state of Syria in a cavalier manner without any – I mean, Denmark. How does Denmark get off bombing Syria? It's ridiculous. And today Australia said they were in on the bombing. By the way, and also there's argument about that. That maybe the U.S. is trying to spread a little responsibility or mislead. There's a lot of dispute about it. There's no question that the attack took place. There's no question that it aided and abetted ISIS. Everybody seems to agree that ISIS is a bad bunch of people. However, they have bombed strategically. It is an area of Syria where there's a base that is surrounded, and people are at risk, and it is where the Syrian army is located. And I think we're joined by Zafar Bengash, who can, I hope, affirm this. Are you there, Zafar?
Yes. Hello, Phil. I am, yes.
Crescent-online.net.
Yes.
Online.net. Yes. Now, Zafar, I was just introducing this by saying that this is turning into a very dangerous situation. The Security Council, we've seen Mr. Churkin and Samantha Power, as a result of a U.S. Attack inside Syria, in eastern Syria, at a very strategic place, which is the Globe and Mail is using the word accident. Okay, so I guess I'm going to ask you, was that an accident? What happened?
Well, it could not be an accident at all because it is an air base, Deir ez-Zor, whose coordinates are well known to all of the parties involved in the Syrian conflict. So I cannot believe that this will be an accident or a mistake. This is also what Samantha Power said at the UN, the U.S. ambassador at the UN. But, if this were, let's say, some bunker out in the middle of nowhere, then one could accept that this was a mistake or an accident. But here is an air base, well-known, whose coordinates are known to everybody. And four U.S. Air Force planes enter from Iraq, two F-16s and two A-10 jets. Mm-hmm. They come and they bomb this area, this air base, in which 62 Syrian soldiers are killed and more than 100 wounded. And what is also very interesting to note is that within 10 minutes of this U.S. attack on this air base, the terrorist groups launched an attack in the surrounding mountains, and they captured a number of strategic heights that surround the airbase, particularly at Jabal Atarde. Now, it seems awfully incredible that these terrorist groups would launch their operations within minutes of the U.S. airstrike on a Syrian airbase.
Yes, and Zafar, could I stop you just there and say, if it were an accident, now they were, as a result, the ISIS people are taking the heights, where is the follow-up attack to kill the ISIS people?
Exactly. You see, now, the United States and Russia...
People who make a mess are supposed to clean them up, right?
Correct. This ceasefire agreement that was signed on September the 9th and went into effect on the evening of September the 12th, based on that agreement, after marathon talks in Geneva between U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and the Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov, this particular agreement was to last for 7 days. And then on September the 14th, it was extended by another 48 hours. So 1 week plus another 48 hours so that, the ceasefire would take hold. It would give aid convoys to reach certain areas of Syria, etc. Instead, what the U.S. has done is to attack Syrian government positions there are two problems with this. Number one, Syria's sovereignty has been violated. Syria is an independent country, a sovereign state. The U.S. Air Force has and had no authority to enter Syrian airspace, although in the past it has continued to carry out these attacks. And secondly, they attacked a well-known airbase in that region, which, as I mentioned earlier, whose coordinates are well-known to all of the parties, including the Americans. Mm-hmm. And as you pointed out, if that was a mistake, then surely these terrorist groups that were supposed to be the real target of these operations, why weren't they attacked?
Now would be the time to hit them.
Yeah, exactly. If they have taken up positions on top of mountains, as incidentally Russian and Syrian air forces did yesterday, they attacked these terrorist positions and ultimately drove them out of those mountaintops because if they had stayed there, they would pose a serious threat to that Syrian airbase as well as to the aircraft that take off and land at that airbase.
I'm very glad to hear you say that. As you know, this story seems to be kind of unfolding, and this is it is important to win this battle because they intend to capture that and run up the flag and be recognized and tear a piece of Syria away.
Well, that's exactly what these terrorists are doing. And one other point that I'd like to mention is that in the Geneva Agreement or the ceasefire agreement, what it said was that, quote-unquote, moderate Syrian rebels would not be targeted. One of the problems I have with this designation of these moderate Syrian rebels is that the terrorists simply change their name, mm-hmm. and then they reemerge under another label, and then they are presented as the moderates. Yes. Simply changing names, whether it's Al-Qaeda or Al-Nusra or Ahrar al-Sham or Fateh al-Sham or one of these different verbal gymnastics that they indulge in, mm-hmm. It is the same bunch of murderous thugs, killers, rapists, cannibals, and yet they, just by changing their name, the U.S. then says, oh, these are moderates and we should not be attacked.
Apropos, I just read today that the new second-in-command of the ever-changing alphabet soup of terrorists is a Saudi national who was actually considered so bad that he was held for a while in a Saudi prison, but now he's been released and he is the number two man.
Well, this is not surprising at all. In fact, we have a document.
Sounds like the 911 bunch seem to be always in business.
Yes, exactly.
And America looks everywhere except in front of them.
You know, we have a document that was sent by the Saudi Interior Minister to the head of prisons. This is dated from 2012, in which the director of prisons in Saudi Arabia was told that he should release all of the criminals, convicted criminals, those that are in prison for murder or rapes or robberies, etc., and particularly those that are on death row, that in return for their release and support for their families, that they should take up arms and go to Syria. We have that document in our possession, an official document of the Syrian Interior Ministry. Now, this is well known. We have published it in the Crescent magazine. And if anybody is interested, they could go to our website and have a look at that document.
Crescent-online.net, right?
That's correct, yes. So that means that Saudi Arabia is deeply complicit in what is going on in Syria. Right from day one, the Saudi regime was involved in destabilizing and overthrowing the government of President Bashar al-Assad, and that the Saudis have not given up on this. They continue to send arms and money and these mercenaries from Saudi
Arabia. This is a life and death fight for them.
Absolutely.
I mean, they've started something which could finish off the Saudis.
Yes, of course. This is absolutely true.
Hallelujah.
These elements are definitely, there are a whole lot of them inside Saudi Arabia as well, and they definitely will pose a threat to the Saudi regime. And quite honestly, you know, I would be very happy if they were to do that, because the Saudi regime has created a lot of problems.
Well, they're bombing bombing Yemen with the assistance of the British and Americans, who continue, by the way, this very cynical game where we have to go through the weeds of all their denials, when in fact it's plain as nose on their face what they're doing.
Exactly.
And by the way, a lot of people being exposed, right? Now, Human Rights Watch, their leader, for example, he tweeted a comment which basically encouraged the idea, let's have more accidental bombings, because he thinks you're sending messages. Is Assad going to get the message? So why can't we just take Human Rights Watch off the table as anything representing integrity or honesty or fair dealing? It's actually an appendage of the Pentagon.
Well, this is one of the very tragic situations that we face in the world today, that many of these so-called human rights organizations are not really concerned about human rights. They're only interested in advancing U.S.-NATO agenda in whatever part of the world they may be. For instance, you know, the U.N. Human Rights Council has called for an independent inquiry into the war crimes that the Saudi regime is committing in Yemen. And yet nobody pays any attention to that. Instead, the U.S., Britain, and other countries are involved in not only providing bombs and planes and helicopters, et cetera, to the Saudi regime, but they are also enforcing a blockade of Yemen in a similar fashion as Israel has blockaded the Gaza Strip. So there is a siege of the Gaza Strip by Israel, and there's a siege of Yemen by Saudi Arabia, the U.S., Britain, and a number of
So if that commission continued its work, you would find Canada and U.S. as culpable.
Yes,
culpable
of course.
In the Saudi crimes.
Yes, absolutely.
But instead, we have to listen to Mr. Roth of the Human Rights Watch talking about Syria. Now, the one element I've got to make sure I ask you, I understand that Iraq has pointed out that those planes, U.S. planes, came from Iraq, but they say that this kind of thing has been going on for someone in the Iraqi government said that they've been dropping weapons to the ISIS people. Have you heard these reports? I think they took the phone away from Zafar. Can you hear me, Zafar?
Yes, I can. We are on the cell phone, so I think sometimes it will cut off here.
Well, by the way, it's a good cell phone. You're coming through loud and clear. Is it Iraq is certainly sympathetic to Syria's problems. I understand they are making comments about the way U.S. abuses its presence in their country.
Yes, of course. You see, there are a number of not only reports but incidents in which U.S. planes have been dropping weapons to these ISIS or ISIL terrorists. In fact, in October of 2014, Iran's leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, in a conference said that we have evidence that the U.S. has provided or dropped weapons to these ISIS terrorists on five different occasions. Mm-hmm. Now, he said that if, let's say, the U.S. were to drop these weapons once and they said it was a mistake, we didn't want to supply these people but somebody else, and by mistake it went to these terrorists, then one could accept it. Mm-hmm. But five times dropping weapons to them is not a mistake. it's a policy, a calculated policy, and that is exactly what's happening.
Fool me once, as President Bush said, and he couldn't remember how the rest of it went. Zafar, it's a pleasure talking to you, and you've shed an awful lot of light on the matter. We, of course, are going to need to talk to you again soon, because this thing is, in the next 3 or 4 days, it's going to be even more troubling. And so we'll come back to you. Thank you very, very much.
Sure. Thank you. It's my great pleasure.
Zafar Bengash, crescent-online.net. This is the Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM.